who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, the scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in 1 Samuel chapter 5. 1 Samuel chapter 5. Let us sing the Psalter number 4, all stanzas. O, wherefore do the nations rage, and kings and rulers strive in vain, against the Lord of earth and heaven, to overthrow Messiah's reign? 1-5 of Psalter number 4.
Thank you. Before we read from God's Word, 1 Samuel 5, we will read the Ten Commandments of the Lord. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. 1 Samuel chapter 5. And the Philistines took the ark of God, and brought it from Eden-Ezer unto Asdod. And when the Philistines took the ark of God, they brought it into the house of Dagon, and set it by Dagon. And when they of Asdod arose early in the morrow, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the earth, before the ark of the Lord. And they took Dagon and set him in his place again. And when they arose early on the morrow morning, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the ground before the ark of the Lord. And the head of Dagon and both the palms of his hands were cut off upon the threshold. Only the stump of Dagon was left to him. Therefore neither the priests of Dagon nor any that came into Dagon's house tread on the threshold of Dagon in Asdod unto this day. But the hand of the Lord was heavy upon them of Asdod, and he destroyed them and smote them with hemorrhoids, even Asdod and the coasts thereof. And when the men of Asdod saw that it was so, they said, the ark of God of Israel shall not abide with us, for his hand is sore upon us, and upon Dagon our God. They sent therefore and gathered all the lords of the Philistines unto them and said, what shall we do with the ark of the God of Israel? And they answered, let the ark of the God of Israel be carried about unto Gath. And they carried the ark of the God of Israel before about thither. And it was so that after they had carried about, the hand of the Lord was against the city, with a very great destruction. And he smote the men of the city, both small and great, and they had hemorrhoids in their secret parts. Therefore they sent the ark of Ekron, and it came to pass, as the ark of God came to Ekron, that the Ekronites cried out, saying, they have brought about the ark of the God of Israel to us, to slay us and our people. So they sent and gathered together all the lords of the Philistines, and said, send away the ark of the God of Israel, and let it go again to his own place, that it slay us not and our people. For there was a deadly destruction throughout all the city. The hand of God was very heavy there. And the men that died not were smitten with the hemorrhoids. And the cry of the city went up to heaven.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, we may be gathered round thy word in this morning of thy holy day once again, when thou still bearest with us to permit us a little space, a place yet here upon this world which is so undeserved. Thou knowest what our hearts contain and what our life is, that we feel not that unworthiness as we can read it in thy word of him that said, I am not worthy, and that thou shouldest come under my roof. Lord, wilt thou open our eyes to our sin and show us what we deserve, that it may become a wonder to us, and that we are still permitted a little time, and that we are still permitted to gather round about thy word of truth on this thy holy day. Remember those that mourn, and be thou on their right and on their left hand in thy mercy, for thou knowest all that they must bear and endure. Day by day, give thy presence. Oh, give something of thy nearness, and that thou may uphold when a man is a miserable comforter. Supply thou for the sick, for the afflicted, those that have serious diseases, those that hear messages, wherein it is coming unto us, that we have here no continuing city, and that message that is saying, seek one that is to come. O Lord, wilt thou bless and sanctify the callings unto each and every one of us while we are living here upon the face of this world. We can read in thy holy word that there is a fountain that is open for sin and for uncleanness. All that is open today, and we know not whether that it shall be shut tomorrow. O, today thou invitest us thereto, even with all our guilt, with all our sin, with all our pollution, with all the corruption of our hearts, and that thou sayest, even as unto that leper of old, wash and be clean. Lord, we will not humble ourselves We will not bring ourselves in the dust before thee. We will not become a sinner before God, in order that we may be washed and that we may be cleansed. And it is so, it is such a simple way, all to confess all our guilt and to acknowledge that we are worthy to be cast away from thee, that thou hast made us good and upright, but we have sought out many inventions. Oh, that is a way so clearly laid out in thy holy word, that we indeed justly, we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. Oh, Lord, remember me. Oh, teach us, Lord, that simple way. Oh, make us simple people, because thou hast said in thy word, except that thou dost receive that kingdom of heaven as a little child, ye can in no wise enter therein. Oh, make us then as such a little child. Oh, give us that true saving faith, that we may believe in thee, that thou art God, and that thou hast made us good and upright, but that we have departed from thee. Oh, bring us in our guilt before thee, and that we may cry out because of our wretchedness, that we may cry out with holy longings and desires after the true and the living God once again, and that we may come to see that we are, because of our own guilt, dead in sins and in trespasses. Oh, that there may be no other way, that we are able to enter in, because of the weakness of our flesh, that we cannot be saved anymore by our own obedience to thy law. Oh, grant that we may come to an end of every way from our own side, and that thou may open unto us the way that thou hast made. It is a new way, thou sayest. It is the living way, a way wherein a wretched and a miserable, a guilty, a condemn-worthy creature, he may be received without money and without price. And when he may receive everything for nothing, and when from hell he may be brought to heaven, and when he may be brought to dwell in the midst of that kingdom wherein they magnify and glorify thee for thy free, thy sovereign grace and mercy. O Lord, teach thou us young and old. We travel together upon a little journey. It is a short journey if we live 100 years. It is an hand breath. It is a shadow. And then we go to our eternal home, and that place where we shall be to a never-ending eternity, never to come out again. Oh, wake us up this day from our sloth, from our sleepiness, and give us to see the reality of our life, that we are traveling with a soul to eternity. Oh, show to us what our danger is, and wilt thou grant us hearts to flee from that city of destruction, and not to look behind us anymore and with covetousness upon all that is passing away here below, but that our hearts may not cleave to all these things as a wife of Lot, who did look back. But Lord, give us to flee. Oh, that we may find safety in that city of Zoar, that there we may receive from thee a place. Oh, remember us, Lord, together. Who shall awaken us but thee? Who can grant us life from the dead? Who can do it with his responsibility, O Lord? Oh, we are so accountable to thee for all thy holy law, and we are nothing but guilty in thy holy sight. Oh, what can we say to thee? We have sinned and we will sin, because even if our heart that is made willing by thee, and then our flesh is not able to bring forth that perfection anymore that thou requirest. And so we cannot make ourselves any better. Lord, thou didst say no more to destroy the world with the flood, because thou didst see what the heart of man was upon the earth. Oh, it is only evil continually, from the crown of our head to the sole of our foot, wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. And we cannot make a change in our own heart and life. Lord, we try to confess it unto thee. Oh, give it truly to be in our hearts, and show it unto us in truth and with power, and open unto us that way that thou hast made, wherein thou receivest sinners unto thyself and eatest with them. Oh, it shall be to thy glory forever and forever. Remember thy children. Oh, they must say, as a wandering sheep, they have lost the path. Oh, Lord, they desire to walk in thy commandments. Oh, that thou would lead them home once again. Oh, that thou would draw them, Lord. For thou sayest, I remember thee, and the kindness of thy youth and the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness in a land that was not sown. But they have left thee days without number. And who is able to bring them back again but thee? Oh, do knock upon the door of their hearts. Leave thou behind a little myrrh, and cause them to rise up again and go into the streets and to say, saw ye him whom my soul loveth? Oh, Lord, remember thy church over the length and breadth of this whole world. Wilt thou increase their number? Wilt thou increase the knowledge also of self and of thee? Oh, that thou may open the mouths more, that they may be more a testimony of thee and of thy love, and of thy sovereign work in the heart of a wretched and a miserable sinner. Oh, that other ones may be drawn, and that thy people may say, Lord, draw me, we will run after thee. And that so it may be experienced in the midst of thy people. Lord, look upon us as a congregation. Thou knowest each and every heart, young and old. We are going over this world, and so often without a care and without a concern for our soul. Then that message overtakes us, that we have to die and that we shall not live. Oh, then, Lord, we are taken so by surprise, not because we did not know it in our minds, but because we had never considered it, because we had never laid it to our hearts. Oh, remember, young and old together. Do look upon our children and upon our youth. Give them in the days of their youth that tender fear of thy most holy name, and that they may be kept from walking in the ways of sin, and that they may be taken by their hand by thee, and that they may be spoiled for the world with grace within their soul. Oh, give them to remember even what that Samuel did say as a little boy. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Wilt thou put away the devices of the devil in drawing our youth and our children unto himself and unto their own destruction? Remember, fathers, remember, mothers. Give to us wisdom. Give to us discretion. Oh, give to us faithfulness. Give unto us courage. Give strength also in all the cares and all the responsibilities. And may thou give a place in a special way every day at thy blessed footstool to receive help from above. Remember our school. and all those that labor therein from day to day. Bless, O bless and sanctify, and thy word also that is brought in that place. Remember those that have departed from thy truth. Thou knowest where that they are also, we beseech thee, Lord. And then there is nothing that is too hard or too wonderful for thee, and that thou would awaken them on this day, that thou would give them to remember what thou hast, how thou hast brought them in their youth to thy house. Oh, give them to see all the way wherein they have departed. Grant them to come with weeping and with supplications once again. Look upon all thy truly sent servants. Increase their number. Help as students in the theological school and the teachers together. Be thou in their midst. Remember in all traveling also their families. Look upon us in all our needs, wants, and cares. Be with those and that are upon the mission fields laboring in thy kingdom. That they also may be given to be witnesses of the work of thy Holy Spirit, and that we also may witness it also in our own midst. Remember those who are old in the nursing home, her also, that hopes to commemorate a birthday in the coming week. Lord, that thou may look upon her also in her old age, and in the weakness of the mind and of the body, and remember her together with her husband. Wilt thou bless us this day? Oh, we ask for a blessing out of thy heavenly store, in thy house of prayer in this morning, in this afternoon hour. Oh, Lord, to whom else can we go but unto thee, who hast the words of eternal life, and who is able to bless us. Oh, we beseech it of thee, Lord, because from our side it is so hopeless, because we are dead in sins and in trespasses by nature. Oh, we look up unto thee, and we wait for thee. Oh, could it be even in this morning hour, send forth thy Holy Spirit, and that it may come with power, and that it may convict of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Oh, that we may not put it away from us in this hour, and to say that go thy way for this time, and that we shall desire a more convenient season. Oh, thou sayest today, today, if thou wilt hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Oh, do it then, Lord, in this hour, if it could please thee. We beseech thee in the forgiveness of all our many sins. For Jesus' sake, amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 207, stanzas 1 through 4. God is known among his people. Every mouth his praises fill. From of old he hath established his abode on Zion's hill. There he broke the sword and arrow, bade the noise of war be still. The last collection today is for the Calgary Loan Repayment, Psalter 207, all stanzas. Beloved congregation, David in Psalm 1 writes that the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Thus there is a way of the righteous, and there is also a way of the ungodly. It is so necessary for us to hear of that way of the righteous. Why? That we may examine our own way. That we may ask whether we are also walking in that same way of the righteous. That it may be an instruction to us. That it may be a drawing for our heart. That it may be a comfort to us. But the Bible, that also speaks about the way of the ungodly. And it is necessary also that we know, that we hear something of that way of the ungodly. Why? That we also may set our heart next to it. And that we may ask ourselves, am I on this way of the ungodly? That I may fear, and that I may turn again, and that I may beseech the Lord that I may be given to walk in that way of the righteous. We have heard something of that way of the righteous. Then we have heard of the way of Hannah. And now, in this morning hour, in the way of the Lord's providence and leadings, we are brought to place ourselves before the way of the ungodly. We wish, with the help of the Lord, to consider this together out of 1 Samuel chapter 5, the second part of the third verse. 1 Samuel 5. Verse 3, the last part. And they took Dagon and set him in his place again. So far the words of our text. Our theme is cleaving to Dagon. First, an ignorant rejoicing. Second, a forced acknowledgement. And third, a stubborn rejection. Cleaving to Dagon, an ignorant rejoicing, a forced acknowledgement, and a stubborn rejection. And the Philistines took the ark of God and brought it from Ebenezer unto Ashdod. We have heard of the war between the Israelites and the Philistines. We have heard that the Lord, he has withdrawn from his people. Why? Because of their sin. And that the Lord, he has allowed the enemy to have the preeminence. And we have heard that the ark of God was taken. And now we read that that ark that is brought unto Ashdod. Oh, if only those Ashdodites, they knew the meaning of this ark. Oh, if only they knew how that this ark, and that was a symbol of the nearness, of the presence of the true and of the living God. Oh, if only they knew how that this ark that is a symbol of the way a fallen creature, a son or daughter of Adam, was able to return again into the blessed presence of that true and that living God. But they are ignorant of it. They are ignorant of that true God. They are ignorant of that mediator. We have today, boys and girls, missionaries. They are going to other lands to teach those who are ignorant of who that God is and how that a man can be received by the Lord again. Oh, do we ever? Do we ever consider the great privilege that we may be brought up under? In those days, no, they did not have missionaries unto these Philistines. Those Philistines, they had their own gods. Yes, because all men have their own gods. Also those who profess that there is no God, they have also their own gods and their own idols in whom that they are trusting. Oh, they have their own gods. Why? Because they are creatures of God and they still have that innate knowledge that there is a God, but they do not know who He is, and so they are making their own concoction of a God, Dagon, that was part man and part fish. The Philistines, they lived near to the water. And that water that was in a certain way worshipped by those people because that water that was seen as a source of fertility. And so this God, He is part fish. Then He is a God that is able to provide for them everything and to make everything fertile, to make everything prosperous. When the Philistines took the ark of God, they brought it into the house of Dagon and set it by Dagon. Thus, they take that ark and they put it by their god. We heard that they think that that ark that is actually the god of the children of Israel in their superstition, the same as their own god that is their god. Well, they, in those times, those gods were not averse that there should be other gods because they also had a multiplicity of gods. Like today, young people, and then we must tolerate all the gods. We must be accepting of all the gods because, well, your God, that is just the God that you worship, and the other one, He is the God that they worship, and then we must be tolerant of everyone and his God because it is all relative. They set it by Dagon, their God, and not only so, but they set it by Dagon because they wish to give to Dagon honor. Because Dagon is the one, they say, that has now delivered us. They will honor their God for their deliverance. Do they put us to shame? Do we also honor the Lord when the Lord is delivering us? And then they are setting it by their God. Then they attribute their deliverance to their own God, to their own self-made idol. Do we do the same? Do we attribute our deliverances to our idols? Do we attribute our deliverances to our doctors, to the medical profession, to science, whereby we may know everything, and the only way that we may know everything for certain, to technology, and whatever it may be, wherein man is placing his trust, then they are bringing contempt on that God of Israel. They say, Dagon, our God, he is stronger than that God of Israel. Oh, we will not say that, right, boys and girls? Never. No, but what is living in our heart when we are delivered by a man or delivered by some other means, and then we are looking to those means and we forget all about God himself, and so we actually do the same as these ignorant Philistines. We say it is an ignorant rejoicing. That is the natural man. Why? Because he has lost the knowledge of God. That was part of the image of God. Knowledge, righteousness, holiness, and we do not know who God is anymore. No missionaries to the Philistines, but the Lord, he will begin to instruct these Philistines. What does he do? He begins to show them the weakness of their fish god. It is early in the morning, and these men of Ashdod, they are coming up to the temple of their god. Do they put us to shame? When early in the morning, the very first thing in the morning, they will first begin their day by acknowledging their God. Oh, it was yesterday that the Lord has given to them that great deliverance, and now their Lord has given it to them. Oh, now they will worship their God. They will worship their Lord. And so they are coming, their hearts, they are esteeming him so very, very highly. And they are coming early into the temple of Dagon. And there, oh, there they receive a great surprise. There they receive a very plain instruction. There they receive a very evident instruction. There they receive an instruction that is so very, very powerful. What is it? And when they have Ashdod arose early on the morrow, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the earth before the ark of the Lord. That is something. Their God fell. Their God stumbled. God, he had some kind of an accident. He is laying on the ground. They see that. And not only do they see that, but there is more, because this Dagon, he is laying, we read, with his face on the ground. He is laying with his face in the dust before whom? He is laying before that ark of the Lord, just like he is worshiping him. Just like he is calling out to all those who follow him, come, that we must bow ourselves before this God of the Israelites. It is, congregation, a miracle. It is far out of the ordinary. There are no second causes. No, the Lord is speaking. The Lord is speaking so clearly unto these Philistines. The Lord, he has a message in it. He has a message in it for these idol worshippers who are falling down before this their God. That message is coming to them. They cannot miss it. It is very plain. And yet what do? Oh, we read, they take Dagon and they set him in his place again. Oh, that is their God in whom they trust. That is their God that provides for them. That is their God that gives to them fertility. That is their God who makes everything in their life to prosper when they ask it of him. That is their God that is helping them in all of their afflictions. They cry to him, they pray to him. And now he is lying there. Oh, they witness what? They witness how helpless that he is. They witness him lying there upon the ground. Then he is, as it were, crying out to them, help me, help me. Because I cannot get up. Oh, that message. That message that is coming so clear unto these Philistines. And what are they doing? They take Dagon. And they set him in his place again. What are they going to do? They're going to continue to worship him. They're going to continue to bow down to him. They're going to continue to show him honor. They're going to continue to believe that he is their protector and that he is their provider. Oh, what are those men of Ashdod doing? Those men of Ashdod, they are blatantly ignoring such a very powerful, powerful evidence of the falsehood of their hope, of the falsehood of their expectation. And they are just blinding their eyes. They refuse to acknowledge it. They do not want to see it, even though that it is so evident in front of them. Man is created with a rational understanding. Oh, they also had a rational understanding. They also could understand that this God who needed their help, that was lying upon the ground, that this God was not able to help them in all of their afflictions. And they took Dagon and set him in his place again. Oh, congregation, what a resistance. What a resistance that man has to true conversion. It is not just that he is unable, but it is that he is so unwilling. It is that there is an aversion in his heart to turn again unto the Lord. Paul says the carnal mind that is enmity against God. For it is not subject unto the law of God, neither indeed can be. The plainest evidences that are before the eyes of men in this world, and man refuses to bow before the Lord. And why? Why? Because he wants to serve his idols. Because he loves his idols. Oh, how fearfully hard is that heart of man hardened in sin, hardened in the service of sin, of vanity, of this world, so that it is so impossible for that heart to be broken without that powerful operation of the Holy Spirit of the Lord. There was no resistance to the Lord in the creating of this whole universe, but there is resistance to that Spirit of the Lord. Resistance in the heart of man against that true conversion. Oh, we are not going lost. No, we are lost. And if we shall be saved, then a great work of God is so necessary upon our hearts. And they took Dagon and set him in his place again. Maybe it was an accident. Maybe it was only by chance. Well, we hope so. Because if it was only by chance, then we can continue on and we can go again in our old life. And they took Dagon and set him in his place again. We go to our second thought, a forced acknowledgement. And when they arose early on the morning, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the ground before the ark of the Lord. And the head of Dagon and both the palms of his hands were cut off upon the threshold. Only the stump of Dagon was left unto him. And thus the Lord comes back. The Lord, he speaks a second time. Is that not a wonder? Is that not a wonder? If the Lord warns us once, and we do not want to listen, and we want to go our own way, our old way. And when the Lord has spoken unto us so clearly, and it was not sufficient, then is it now not a wonder if the Lord will come to us and he will speak to us once again? How many times has the Lord spoken in our life? In the ways of his providence, how many times have we not been given to experience that our idols are dead? That those things wherein we place our trust, they are helpless in themselves. How many times? Once, twice, 5, 10, 100, thousands, maybe. The Lord comes again. Now the judgments, they are increased. Because we read that this Dagon, he is broken to pieces. Only that fish stump is left. The hands and the head, they are cut off and they are lying there upon the threshold. Thus Dagon is exposed. He is not that God, Philistines, that he is made out to be. That he is by some wonder made into this form, into this creature. His head is cut off. His power, his hands, his wisdom, his power, that means nothing. Oh, there he is. A second time. He is broken to pieces. Oh, how is it now? See, those Philistines, they will come and they will take that idol and they will put him through the grinder. They'll crush him. And they will say to those priests, they will say, you have deceived us. You have made us to trust in something that is fake. You have made us to trust in that which cannot help us. We will now renounce him. We will now forsake him, because now we see that God of Israel, he is to be worshipped. Is that what we read, boys and girls? Do not read that. Read something else. We read the opposite. Therefore, neither the priests of Dagon nor any that come into Dagon's house tread on the threshold of Dagon in Ashdod unto this day. Thus, they superstitiously begin to avoid stepping on that threshold that is in honor of Dagon. There is no honor to Dagon. What have they done? They have by this perpetuated the shame of Dagon. Because with this new custom goes a history. And now this history that shall be told over and over again. O congregation, see how hardened the man becomes by his own sin. With every rejection of the callings of God that are coming unto us, every time that man becomes harder and harder. We do not remain neutral. No, either it softens us, either it breaks our heart, or it hardens us. Boys and girls, you know what Solomon said, remember thy Creator when? In the days of your youth. Why? Because, boys and girls, every day that goes by in your life, your heart becomes harder. Every day, we would say it becomes more and more difficult to be converted. Oh, will you not say with that little boy, Samuel, Lord, speak. For thy servant heareth. What does the Lord do now? But the hand of the Lord was heavy upon them of Ashdod, and he destroyed them and smote them with emrods, even Ashdod and the coast thereof. Oh, the Lord teaches that people themselves. He lays his hand upon them in a heavy way. He destroys them. That is, he makes them desolate. He makes them waste. That is in a remarkable way, in a stunning way, that people can see it. That it is by disease that he is bringing, that men are being slain suddenly. That he is making waste the fields and so on. And then also we read that they are smitten with emrods. That is in our language, hemorrhoids. That is, inner boils and swellings of their secret parts, burning pain. Thus the Lord touches now that people themselves. He gives them to feel something. And then finally, we hear something. And when the men of Ashdod saw that it was so, they said, the ark of the God of Israel shall not abide with us, for his hand is sore upon us and upon Dagon our God. His hand. He is doing it. It is his work. It is not an accident. It is no chance. There is no second cause here. No, it is the hand of Israel's God. His hand is upon us, and it is upon Dagon our God. That is something. because they have rejoiced in this God, that he was stronger than the God of Israel, that he has given to them that victory over the Israelites. And now they begin to confess that the hand of this God is touching our God. He is stronger than our God. So we see them. They send messengers to all of the Philistines, to all the cities, to Gath, to Ekron. Oh, they say, everyone come now, because we are going to forsake Dagon. And we are going to worship this God who is stronger than our God. Is that right, children? Say, no, minister. No. That is not right. We don't read it in God's word. No, we read something else. They sent therefore and gathered all the lords of the Philistines unto them. That they did. But they said this, what shall we do with the ark of the God of Israel? And they answered, let the ark of the God of Israel be carried about unto Gath. And they carried the ark of the God of Israel about thither. Let it go. Bow. Submit. Humble our pride. Confess. No. No. The Lord said to Job that if you can humble the pride of a man, then I will confess that your own right hand can save you. We don't just do that. Are they successful? And it was so after they had carried it about, the hand of the Lord was against the city with a great destruction. And he smote the men of the city, both small and great, and they had emrods in their secret parts. Maybe you think, young people, if I had an awful disease, then I would be converted. If I was in a terrible accident, then I would be converted. Look here. It is not so. It is not so. Do you know what you need to be converted? You need the Lord to touch your heart. Conversion is a miracle. Manasseh was there in the prison. Then we read, and Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. That is a miracle from above. Saul of Tarsus, when I was on his way to Damascus. Then we read of that miracle too. Because there that man, he says, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? So different, isn't it? Oh, how the pride of man is so humbled in the dust, is brought low before the Lord. Will you ask for that? Ask for a miracle. Say, Lord, come. Because the Lord can smite us on every side. But if that is not sanctified, it will leave us harder than we were before. Let us sing. Psalter 16, 5, 7, and 8. Give praise to Jehovah. And the mighty deeds tell of him who has chosen in Zion to dwell, of him to whom justice and vengeance belong, who visits the lowly and overthrows wrong. 5, 7, and 8 of Psalter 16. Therefore they sent the ark of God to Ekron. And it came to pass, as the ark of God came to Ekron, that the Ekronites cried out, saying, they have brought about the ark of the God of Israel to us, to slay us and our people. People of Ekron, they protest. Oh, they protest the coming, they protest the receiving of the ark of God. Oh, there is another people. Oh, how glad they would have been when that ark would have been brought unto them. That is now the way it will be one day. On the great day. On the day of days. Because when he is coming in the clouds of heaven, then there is a people to whom the Lord says, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And then on the other hand, there is a people that he says they will cry out, mountains fall on us, and hills cover us, from him that sitteth upon the throne, and from the face of the Lamb. All the Ekronites, they protest. And we understand why. Because we read the hand of God that was very heavy against these Ekronites. And that there is a deadly destruction throughout the city. And now finally, what do we read? We read that the cry of the city went up to heaven. Is that so, boys and girls? The cry of the city went up to heaven? Yes, that is so. Oh, that is not now a protest. No, but that is a cry for help. He would say, that is now a people. They are broken under the rod. They are broken under their affliction. And that are crying out in their distress. To whom? To the God of Israel. To the God of heaven and of earth. What a wonder. That is even in the land of the Philistines. Oh, does the Lord now break the hearts of these Philistines? Oh, congregation, wait a moment. Wait a moment, let us be careful that we do not lay hands on persons too quickly. Now, our fathers, they have always said, let it winter over once. Because there is much crying in the world. And why are these Ekronites crying? Oh, they cry out of their pain. They cry out of their sorrow. They cry out of their misery. But where do we not find this in the world? Just go to the hospital. And you will hear those people that are crying out even as these Ekronites are crying. Maybe we have had that too in our life. Oh, that our cry in our distress, in our need, that our cry that has gone up unto heaven. But do you know what we do not read here? We do not read that they bowed. We do not read that they worshipped. We do not read that there was one pang for their guilt. We do not read of one tear of sorrow after that true and that living God. We do not read of any turning away from all their idolatry, and a bowing and a coming before that God of Israel. No, it's just the opposite. We read, send the ark of the God of Israel away, and let it go again to his own place, that it slay us not and our people. We say it is a stubborn rejection, because they have felt something, because they have seen something, but they put it completely away. Or we can read the Lord Jesus, he went to the Gergesenes, cast out a devil, made them feel something of his own power. Those devils, they went into the swine, legion, many, swine in the sea, lost. What do people say? Abide with us. Depart from us. And why? Because they didn't have their swine. Oh, those Philistines, they remained heathens. Those Philistines, they remained even as the Egyptians remained under the hand of the Lord. They desire that ark to go back. Why? Why? That they may serve their idol. They want to serve that idol peacefully. They want to serve that idol without warnings anymore. They want to serve that idol without the callings of the Lord, without the judgments of the Lord. And they took Dagon and set him in his place again. It is, congregation, a stubborn rejection. Us too. We are all fine if we have a little bit of religion, as long as we don't have to make a choice. That is between that religion and our gods, our idols, our sins. If we may have both, well, that when we can endure that religion a little bit. But if we have to give our idols up, then we would rather say, send that ark away. The rich young ruler, the Lord Jesus, he says you have to give up the rest. And what do we read of that man? He went away. He was sad. He was sad because he could not have both. But do you see what he chose? What do we do with the dealings of the Lord? Because every time that there is a stubborn rejection to the callings of the Lord in the way of his providence, every time again, then we are saying, Lord, depart. Why? That I may serve my idols. Every time that our heart may be a little impressed, even in an outward way in the house of the Lord, and we stubbornly reject it, then we say, Lord, depart. Why? That I may serve my idols. Every time our knees refuse to bow, our heart becomes harder. And every time our pride refuses to humble itself, then our heart becomes harder. And the judgments of the Lord can increase and increase. And there is no effect until we are destroyed. Oh, had those callings that came to the Philistines. Oh, had those callings only brought them to that blessed place of true repentance, because they learned something of the power of the Lord. They learned something, they experienced something of it in their life. That is in the way of punishment. But oh, do you know what they missed? They missed the experience of that power in the way of deliverance, in the way of redemption. Oh, congregation, they were so close. So close. Do you know what they had in their midst? The Ark of God. What was on the top of that Ark, boys and girls? There was the mercy seat. The mercy seat. That was in their midst. That mercy seat went from city to city. Spent time there. You know what those Philistines never did? When they saw the power of that God of Israel, they never inquired after it. Oh, had they only gone once unto Israel, and had they not confessed, and they said, oh, your God, He is the true God. Tell me now something about this God. Do you know what they would have heard? Oh, then they would have heard something about blood. Blood. Shed blood that was placed on that mercy seat. Oh, then they would have heard something of the mercy of that God. They have felt His judgments. They have experienced His judgments. But had they only inquired after Him, oh, then they would have heard something also of His mercies. And then not only to the people of Israel, but oh, they would have heard something also of a Rahab who was of the enemy, and who was also received as one of the children of God through that same blood. Then they would have heard also about a Ruth, a Moabitess, who has sought that God of Israel. Oh, there they would have heard that there is mercy for the chiefest of the sinners. The congregation, feeling that power, they never inquired. We are also so close. Oh, how close are we? We feel His power on every side. We feel it in nature. We see it also in the judgments. Oh, time and again, then the Lord is showing that power. All then, time and again, one has to give over his life to die. And then we sit under the preaching of that blood. O congregation, how is it now for us when we are under the preaching of that mercy seat? By nature, it is proud rebellion. You know what we do not want? We do not want to become a sinner before God. That is not what is standing in our way upon our journey to eternity and our love for our idols. And we meet judgments, yes. We meet every judgment of the Lord. Sickness, calamity, with a cry to the God of heaven. O Lord, help us. O Lord, take it away. O Lord, spare me for this time. And then we take our idol and we set it again in his place. And they took Dagon and they set him in his place again. That was their destruction. Will it be ours too? Was their own fault. Was their own fault. Those Philistines, were they not rightly condemned with all the experience of the power of that God? Never did they inquire after him. But they took Dagon and they set him in his place again. O congregation, the Lord, he says, today, if you will hear my voice, harden not your hearts. Because if we think we are hard today, tomorrow, we will be even harder. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we receive warning from thee this morning. It is the way of the ungodly, and there is not one of us whose conscience does not testify in this morning hour that from our own side, this is also my way. O Lord, we beseech thee for thy power. O not to condemn us, but that power of true conversion, that irresistible work of thy Holy Spirit to overcome our awful resistance. Give us to put away our idols. Give us to bow before the true and the living God. And teach us of that blood that is placed upon that mercy seat, that we may be received again of thee. We acknowledge thee for thy help. In this morning hour, bless, oh bless thy word. Help thy servant in this afternoon hour to bring thy word in our midst. Give us faithfulness to come up thereunder. For Jesus' sake, amen. 255, 2, 3, and 4. For how great a God and glorious is Jehovah whom we sing. Over idol gods victorious, great is he, our God and King. And what follows in 2, 3, and 4 of Psalter 255. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.